A president might energize a nation, but who is it who really solves your problems? You're listening to SDPB's In the Moment. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Alexander Heffner set out to learn how mayors across the world enact political change. Heffner is host of The Open Mind on PBS. He's co-author of A Documentary History of the United States. I talked with him about his latest series, Mayors of the World.
After President Trump was reelected, I did some reflection on whether the bridge-building conversations I'd had with Senator Thune, Senator Murkowski, governors all around our great country were emblematic of the discourse here, or an outlier. I found ultimately that we were still ensnared in a rather vicious cycle of dysfunction. It was important to travel to municipal centers that were responsible for the well-being of their communities in a way that is more direct. So The idea was mayors and the world, and including mayors in our own country, acknowledging that the most direct line of communication is with your local representatives, and the elected office holders who are most accountable have to be and are mayors, county executives, and other city, town leaders. So with that in mind, I endeavored to explore the cultural and civic life of cities through mayors, beginning where democracy was born, Athens, Greece.
Tell me how you chose, beyond Athens, how you chose some of the mayors that you wanted to sit down with and run with and paddle with and lift weights with. And
appreciate that. Yeah, for your listeners, they can go to theopenmind.com and check out the latest episodes. You're alluding to paddling on kayak with the mayor of Toronto and delicious Chilean sandwiches with the mayor of Santiago down in South America. It was important for me and for this project to represent as much of kind of the tapestry of civil society and public affairs. So that's three continents, North America, South America, and Europe. Of course, I wish we could have transcended that, but at least for now, I thought that, you know, starting where the ethos of Democratic and Republican representation was born would be smart in contextualizing this pursuit, you know, as we've hit 250 here in our country, of life, liberty, and happiness in all of these places. I said recently to a friend, it seems with the American obsession with high finance and data centers and artificial intelligence, that people may be making a buck, but it wasn't life, liberty, and the pursuit of efficiency. For me, it was important to capture the pulse of these respective places and the policies that mayors are seeking to pursue. And that's an important distinction between the two seasons with governors and senators. These mayors are making real change. So in Athens, opening up health clinics that were just not in existence and greenifying a city that's been deforested in some sense by an influx of tourism that Athens and Greece had never seen into the last quarter of a century. But in some cases, profound policies that are now being considered in the United States. So a vacancy tax, what's been called a pied-à-terre tax in New York City, considering whether or not there should be a higher burden of people who own more than one property and whether that property sits vacant and the policy ramifications of that. In Atlanta, Georgia, the mayor took these dormant, vacant lots and storage vats that hadn't been used since the emergency stage of COVID and turn them into permanent housing, not temporary housing, permanent housing, and open the first grocery store in the history of downtown Atlanta. So we think of filling potholes as kind of a tongue-in-cheek municipal responsibility. But the truth of the matter is the people who are connected to the well-being of communities, breathable air, potable water, you know, and whether your community is living with happiness or unhappiness, ultimately the mayors are most responsible for that. So I think it was important to see the perspectives from diverse constituencies in the United States. So that's Midland, Texas, Detroit, Michigan, Atlanta, Georgia, and Miami, Florida, and then diverse parts of the world, Athens and Lisbon, two cities in Germany, and as I mentioned, South America. So, you know, that's how it all cohered to answer your question, bringing together a diverse tapestry of these cities and their leaders.
One of the things that you mentioned, the mayor of Atlanta, and the place you're referring to is the Melody, 40 shipping containers with wraparound services for permanent housing for previously unhoused or housing insecure people. And one of the things that he says is, the problem might have started somewhere else, but people come to Atlanta for the solution. And I think a lot of people in cities, you know, here in South Dakota can recognize that too, that a problem might start in a rural community and it might end up in one of the state's larger cities where that city is solving that problem. He embraced that, the mayor of Atlanta did.
Yeah, he embraced it. And I think in general, with the divestment of municipal resources, there's no other way of looking at it as if we can do more for our constituents in the absence of the private sector stepping up or a federal authority or a state authority. I mean, that's very pertinent in the American context with the last 2 years of the Trump administration and the downsizing of not just the diplomatic corps, which was another impetus of taking this abroad to re-engage in dialogues with the world, but also instruments of self-preservation. People who want food to be affordable, people who want there to be some measure of safety net in this country for health and human services, and the building blocks of that have unraveled, and that's it with intention. The intention of the second Trump administration has been to unravel those programs so that people are not, in the minds of this administration, dependent upon help. But when we live in the most lopsided economy in the history of the United States and maybe the world, people count on their groceries being affordable, and when you're struggling, I think the American aspiration, even if it hasn't been delivered, has been to be your brother's keeper. And let me just add to this whole discussion, the mayor of Santiago, Chile, really resonated with me, Lori, because he's an ex-cop. Mm-hmm. He grew up as the coup d'etat was happening. That was a socialistic liberal regime overthrown by a military coup. The right wing of General Pinochet killing Salvador Allende, the liberal president. And he was, you know, growing of age and in a house where his dad had been a fan of the ousted president Allende, and his mom was on the conservative side of the spectrum, and in their house for a period of years, and maybe it still is, I don't know if his parents are still living, but portraits of both men hung in their dining room. Mm-hmm. And he learned from that over time, seeing assassinations and disappearances on both sides, that we are Chileans. And if we have a different policy prescription to help our fellow Chileans, and whether that comes from a conservative orientation or liberal orientation or free market or capitalistic or socialistic, that's not a justification for maligning the otherizing people. It's not a justification for hurting people and being mean-spirited in our political life. And it was very moving to be there. And I didn't only get a chance to interview Mayor Mario Despores, the mayor of Santiago, but I interviewed, which had been a real lifelong dream of mine up there with the Pope, which hasn't happened, is the two-time president of Chile, Michelle Bachelet, who survived the dictatorship too, but her dad did not. He was tortured to death and disappeared, and she went on to become a successful pediatrician and served twice as president, and now is considered a prominent candidate for UN Secretary General. And that's kind of the capstone episode that will be on South Dakota PBS for your viewers in the next few weeks, that is talking about the future of representative government. So here I was talking to 10 mayors from Midland, Texas, to Santiago, Chile, to Athens, Greece, and then wanted to kind of conclude with, here's a person who has seen the highs and lows in public service and political life, and that was pretty moving. We did it in the museum dedicated to the memory of that of those who were disappeared, the Human Rights Museum in Santiago.
Yeah. You mentioned, I want to go back to something you said about a vacancy tax, and you're in Toronto, and the mayor Olivia Chow was talking about how important renters are and how people sometimes overlook renters. And then you're in Miami, and that mayor has a slightly different view. He's talking about how important innovation is and inviting AI and tech companies to come. The mayors are close to their people, but they are solving problems in different ways.
That's well said. And thank you for not only being interested in the mayors, but watching our program. It means a lot. I think, I don't know if you could get Mayor Chow of Toronto and Mayor Suarez of Miami to agree on much. I think that it comes from the origin of their story. And I think Canadians don't have a health insurance industry. There's not a health insurance industry in Canada. It is considered a human right. You don't need a job to have health insurance in Canada. So I think that if Mayor Suarez took into consideration that, and Mayor Chow took into consideration that Chile and then Cuba both were examples of socialism or communistic regimes where rights were promised but then ultimately deprived, the free market looks like a panacea. And so, yeah, you hit the nail on the head in the diversity of perspectives with Mayor Desportes in Santiago, I think coming out somewhere in the middle between Mayor Chow and Mayor Suarez. But one thing that can't be denied by a Mayor Suarez is the inflationary climate we live in, and people reporting they need more than one job to survive and take care of their family. And one thing that Mayor Chow couldn't deny is that there have been reported concerns about the availability of medical care when it is freely accessible to anyone at any point in terms of delayed procedures and not being able to see a doctor. But that, that cuts both ways. There's certainly that capitalism, the capitalistic system of medical care in America has both denied people coverage and access. It's not just charging them exorbitant prices. So I think at the end of the day, the mayors, they see the city from the perspective of where they sit. Yeah. And that may not be different from people like Senator Thune and Senator Kelly, others that I've interviewed in the national political climate. Everything does ultimately hinge on your vantage point.
One thing that struck me is kind of what you were saying a moment ago with how close these mayors are to the people, whether it's Mayor Chow kind of rescuing somebody's kayak that is drifted away to the mayor of Atlanta who, someone comes up and is like, you're a man of your word. You keep your promises. To the mayor of Miami tapping on the hurricane-proof glass at the restaurant that you're eating at, saying, this is what we've done. We have created a resilient infrastructure. These are people who live in their communities, probably will stay living in their communities. And if it's not going well, you can find them, even though they've maybe have solved problems or failed to solve problems in very different ways. These are people we're very close to, is the mayor of our town.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's that kind of deep rootedness in place is meaningful, and it explains why our town hall meetings and local instruments of government don't deteriorate and erode in the way that the national discourse, you can kind of engage in it in a way that's not healthy, and then just sort of abandon it because it's not doing anything for people. You can't really do that at the mayoral stage. And in that respect, it's not just federalism, but the specific way federalism works here in the United States is, you could call it a deterrent, a saving grace. But as we celebrate this 250 birthday, I'd always come back to that idea of delineation of powers, and the fact that we have a system, whether it's conservative or liberal mayors, but that can operate on that basis, where you can have leaders of different ideological stripes, but you have town halls, you have city councils, you have mayors. You know, there are a lot of vehicles for improving the state of things, and that's important. It keeps people energized and gives people hope.
Yeah. So the mayor of Miami would like to go be mayor in New York for just a day because he's convinced he could solve some problems. But you also say the mayor of Athens has a message for the mayor of New York as well. Let's take it back to Athens as we wrap up and say, what's that message?
Right. Well, he said his hope for Mayor Mamdani in New York was not to give up, to keep up the fight. And I mean, the mayor of Athens has a particular perspective on this because he is actually somewhat hamstrung by federal authorities. And while Athens is the birthplace of democracy, his agenda is stymied by central government arbiters and regulators who have not enabled him to advance. And he wanted to give a pep talk to Mayor Mamdani and relay that message. There are improvements that he's making in the city, Mayor Dukas, but he brings that perspective because in not all of these cities are mayors empowered to do lasting change. Mayor Chow in Toronto is an example of someone who was able to do that.
We will point people to theopenmind.com and to programming on SDPB to find the Mayors of the World series. And it's a great program, and we appreciate you thinking of us as always.
Thank you, Lori. Happy 250th to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Alexander Heffner is host of The Open Mind on PBS. He's co-author of A Documentary History of the United States. You can find Mayors of the World now on theopenmind.com. And you can find a transcript of this conversation on our website, sdpb.org/inthemoment. Have you got an interesting mayor with a great story of solving problems in your South Dakota town or municipality? Send me an email, inthemoment@sdpb.org. That is our conversation for today. I hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.